Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. And good morning to everyone. Thank you for listening to the Clay County Corner. Having a little difficulty this morning with the phone lines in Salina. So we'll see what we can get done. But right now, we'll listen to little Cherokee Hope Upton.
Money. I guess if I'd admit it, Clayton taught me how to drink booze. I can see him half stone picking up lovesick blues. When Clayton died, I made him a promise I was gonna carry on somehow. I'd give $100 if he could only see me now. Tomorrow.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Okay. Well, I've got to run, keep from hiding, and I'm bound to keep on riding, and I've got one more silver dollar, but I ain't gonna let them get me, no, ain't gonna let them get me, midnight rider.
Good morning, everyone. Running a little bit late. The phone company says we've got a problem with our phone line, but we've got one of these handy-dandy wireless husband checkers here and trackers, so we will try to proceed from here. We'd like to welcome everyone in belatedly to the morning show this morning. Like I said, we're coming on about nearly 9:30 this morning, but Mayor Reagan is here with me, and Mayor, I guess to all the preliminaries, I know you've got some things you want to talk about, so let's get started.
Yeah, well, thank you again. I appreciate the opportunity to come up. It's been a little while since I've been up here, and it could possibly be something. I know yesterday about 1:20 they had this emergency alert and everything, so I don't know. Could have been something hit you there, Tom.
They think the power supply is going off somewhere.
Okay, well, again, thanks. We're going to thank everyone for being patient and waiting for us to come in there. The county commission met this past Monday night for the October meeting, and we have a few little things we'd go over with and explain to everybody a little bit. I was running late anyway, Thomas, to be honest with you, before I left the office. There's about four different things came up, and we had to assist some other offices down there with some things that they had going on and everything. So we had the county commission meeting. We always started out with a prayer, but this time we started it out. I asked everyone in the audience if they'd give us a courtesy of a moment of silence in memory of our beloved trustee that passed away going on close to a month ago, and Charlie Key, unexpectedly, he left this world and gone to rest with our Heavenly Father. So the crowd was very gracious in allowing me to do that, and we had a minute of silence in his memory and everything. And then, of course, we opened the meeting, as always, with a pledge to our flag and then a prayer to our Lord above and a roll call. We had one notary, Diana Faye Monroe. You may know that lady. And she got her notary status recertified and everything. And then we had the motions to approve the county commission minutes, as well as the motion to approve the planning committee minutes. And then we have a section now that we're doing due to the legislators have put this into effect. I guess it was in June or July this year that we opened it. We always ask most of the time, especially in our planning minutes, our meetings, if we have any public comment. But now we're doing it at our county commission meetings as well. So we opened that up for public comment, and we had a couple of folks that had a couple of matters they wanted to discuss with the county commission, and we give them that opportunity to do so. And if our policy states that anyone that wants to do a make a public comment to the commission, they could certainly do that. We would just like for them to let us know before the meeting starts so that we can have their name down and what the subject matter they want to talk about, so that we can give the commissioners that information. And we've got a time limit set on that of 3 minutes per comment. So that's our policy, and we try to keep it, you know, somewhat in order. And that way sometimes you know that it may go over just a little bit and everything, but and the commissioners can absolutely ask the chairman if he would allow them a little bit more time and everything. So that's something that we're doing. And we've also got a face page at my office now that we post all the county commission minutes, their meetings, and any notices or whatever we're doing as far as the county government business goes. So you can go on to the face page on, I think it's clickcountygovernment.com, If you go to that, it should take you to the mayor's office, the Facebook page and everything. So I'm not much on Facebook. I don't have one of them. Pandora does all that stuff, but I don't. But anyway, Carol's got it set up and everything, and all of our agendas and stuff is posted on that as well. So we won't let the public know exactly when our meetings are coming up and what the agenda, what's going to be on the agenda for them. But one of the first things that we did, Thomas, was that we had a couple of positions to fill vacancies, and one being, as I mentioned a moment ago, was the passing of Charlie, our trustee. But the first one was a resignation of District 5 County Commissioner, Mr. Michael Miller. He resigned his position last month. And so the commissioners wanted to go ahead and fill that vacancy as soon as they possibly could. They have the opportunity to do that within 120 days if it doesn't fall within that time frame of another general election showing up within that 120-day time frame. And which in this case, we didn't have, but we do have a general election that's coming up next August. So this position is filled until that time frame comes up, and then they have to, and I guess it's February, is when they go to the election administrator's office and pick up a petition to run for that office again. So they filled that position with Liz Bowes in District 5. So Liz is serving as District 5 commissioner. Liz was a commissioner prior to the last election. They appointed her back to that position, and she'll serve that position until next August, and then they'll run for it. And if she's elected by her peers out there, the citizens, she'll continue to serve out the other 2-year term and everything, because it's a 4-year term. And the same thing doing resolution number 2 is the appointment of the temporary position of the trustee. And the commissioners appointed that to fill that vacancy with Angie Thompson. Angie has worked for Charlie. She's been the deputy trustee for Charlie was there about 25 years, and Angie's been there pretty much the same length of time. So I thought that was a good move on their part to put her back into that position.
I know she's very, very familiar with the work and
absolutely inside
here and all of that office.
And this is I stated to the commissioners that, you know, this is one of the most busiest time of that office. It's fixing to start for the next 3 months. From now until February, I'll put it that way. Because your tax.
That's when we got to cough up the funds.
Your tax notices, it probably already came out. I know mine came out. And I was in her office this morning working on her safe back there. Her handle came off, and she said, "Lord, what am I going to do?" And I said, "Well, we're going to fix it." So, I mean, you know, while I was in there, there were several people done coming in and phone calls that she was answering everything. So get her to that, and she'll have to do the same thing like I was talking about that the District 5 commissioner will have to do. She'll have to pick up petition if she chooses to run for a countywide race in February to turn her petition papers in by April, I think it is, and then run for that for another 2 years. That'll finish out that 2 years, and that's a 4-year term too. So, and then in 2 years from there, she'll have to run for another 4-year term, and that'll get it all back on track and everything. So,
do we have anyone anymore elected for 6-year terms? You know, one time there was a few of those in the state.
Not that I'm aware. The only one that your general Texas judge is an 8-year term.
8-year. I knew there was someone in there that's elected for a long term.
As far as I know, any of the general office's official is usually a 4-year term, and their staff they're like next year will be a general election for your property assessor and some school board members, and I think there's going to be some state maybe legislators and those federal elections coming up too, so those will be on the docket to do next year, and then the year after that you'll have your city election.
Right.
It usually falls on an odd number year and everything between that. And then the year after that, you'll have your big, we call it the big one,
right?
The county general election and everything. So, the general census judge is the only one that I'm aware of that has, I think it's an 8-year term.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. The resolution number 3 was resolution partnership with the American Legion that Clay County was to set up a relief fund. The commissioners wanted to do something, you know, for the veterans and their families, those veterans that are in need, whether it may be, you know, going to the doctor or if it gets to a point where that, and one of the things that we talked about too was that, and I didn't realize this, that if you have a veteran out there and they pass away and their spouse will certainly pick up their pension and stuff, but it takes a period of time in there to do that. They tell me anywhere from 3 to 4 months or something like that. So there's going to be a void right there that they're going to need some help. And so that's what the commissioner is wanting to do, to set this up. It's a little, they call it Veterans Relief Fund, and it's under the direction of the Veterans Service Officer. Right now they're in the process of hiring another Veterans Service Officer. Brad Hackbaker was our Veterans Service Officer, and he got a promotion and in the state, and he moved up. He's still with the Veterans Affairs, but he's moved out of his position into another position. So the American Legion has a committee that they set up, and last Friday, the 30th, was the deadline on any veteran that wanted to apply for that job, and then they'll take those applications into that committee, and they'll look them over and do the interview process and get that. But that relief fund will be under the direction of the Veterans Service Officer and the American Legion. And it kind of takes it away from, you know, I always say the politics of it. You know, commissioners, they will give the commissioners an update, but they'll be the ones that will be making it, you know, whenever they see someone that maybe needs something. And that was $5,000. They set up that little fund for that and everything. So that was that. And other resolution was a resolution to approve the agreement between the City of Salina and Clay County for a veteran's law. And that's been on for the last, I guess, three months on the meeting. It would get postponed. And so the other night that they did, it went before the commission for a vote. It did pass. It passed by 6-4 votes. And that is a $40,000, allocation, to go to the, construction of a veteran's monument and a wall, and that is what it can be used for, and that's the only thing it could be used for in that case and everything. And there's a lot of different stipulations and stuff going on with that and everything. And so that passed by 6-4 vote. And then we had a budget amendment from the Highway Department. We used it this time of the year, Jason, getting some funding in from the state aid stuff, to move some stuff around to get some gravel and hot mix and stuff for this. Most needed, you know, repairs on some of the county roads out there before the winter month ends and everything. So got that passed. And then resolution number 6 was a resolution that we had. We will come up to assume the responsibility of the City of Salina's portion of the Veterans Service Officer salary obligation. That position was formed back in 2014, and the way it was set up was that the city, the county of Clay, put in $7,000, and the county of Jackson County put in $7,000. City of Salina put in $3,000, and the city of Gainesville put in $3,000, and that made up that salary, that made up that budget for that position and everything. But the city has chosen to. They wanted some more information from some of the veterans, invited some of the veterans to come up and explain to us at that time that we're going to freeze that money. And so the commissioners at that time, they said, we're going to go ahead and assume that responsibility to keep that, you know, position going as far as the budget goes and everything. So, and that passed by unanimous vote on the commission. And, the last thing, we had to have a resolution. The last thing was to apply the Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development for a broadband ready community program. And across the state, across the 95 counties in the state of Tennessee, money has been allocated for each county up to $100,000 to set up, you know, some broadband programs. for the county, whatever it may be, we have an opportunity to see what we're very blessed here in Clay County.
Yes, we are.
But this is something that they wanted us to pass in the event that we come up with. So I, one of the things that I asked them if it would be would be approved or would it be a valuable project was to look at the possibilities of new laptops and stuff like that for the Senior Citizen Center. And maybe in the future even look at the possibility of setting up some kind of telehealth or something like that and everything. And so they did absolutely. So we went ahead and passed that. The development district, our UCDD is the one that's going to be administering all that for us and everything. And so hopefully we might be able to come up with some programs out there. Thomas, you may have a program that you may be interested in up here at the courthouse for something like that. But if it is, hopefully we'll have $100,000 to do that with and everything.
You know, we have had, you know, our wireless broadband here in the courthouse for a number of years.
That's right.
And, of course, it's not working this morning. But that's one of the things about Clay County and Twin Lakes. We have for the, since 1993, you know, we've had full fiber here in Clay County, and so much of the money that comes down now was for things like making sure that everyone in the county had fiber access to the home. And our phone company just about got us probably somewhere in the 90%. And we have been for so many years so far ahead of everyone, it's kind of made it hard to come up with worthwhile projects. And it sounds like, you know, getting more connectivity for the folks like down at the community center, the older folks. I don't say old folks.
Indeed, I mean, it's a good problem to have because, I mean, you know, we have a lot of, like you said, we're very blessed. Twin Lakes has done an outstanding job and still doing an outstanding job. I mean, even technology has its downfalls sometimes. It's just like this morning and everything. But still, it may be, you know, there may be an area here in the county somewhere that we need to put in a wireless connection before that, you know, that I know, I think we got it over this park across the river, and I think you can go over there and get on the
internet
over there as well. So, and there may be other sites here that we can come up with. There.
So many of the projects they came up with, we were able to skip three or four steps of it, which made it harder for us. Sometimes they wanted us to wait for other people to catch up with us, we took care of that over the years.
Well, you done that in your school days and everything. Our school system here was ahead of time when it comes to that and everything as far as communicating with other campuses and stuff and everything. You all had that worked out for the kids.
You know, the phone company had everything laying there waiting for us, and it just took putting things on our end of it. And, you know, and it was hard sometimes to convince the state. I know, like, when they came out with this thing called DSL on copper, and we had fiber everywhere, and they had appropriated all kinds of money for DSL connections. And it took, going back in at the history, the old Exceed thing, where all of the counties in the Upper Cumberland here, with all the schools, county offices, hospitals were involved, wherever we all pooled our money here and made sure that everyone within the area was at the same level instead of...
Yeah, it worked out well. So that was pretty much the consistent of the agenda that we went over on consideration with the county commission on Monday night. And we also made aware of the judicial commissioner's position. Kathy Haney is the new judicial commissioner. And she has to have a backup. So she named two young ladies that's going to be her backup. And I should have wrote their names down and I didn't, but there's two young ladies that, the commissioner were made aware of it and, they'll have to be sworn in and they'll have to go take the state, training and everything just like maybe they'll be doing the same thing just like a regular judicial commissioner and everything.
Okay. And what are the duties of the judicial commissioner?
Anything, you know, like a deputy, they have to do, you know, if a deputy wants to serve a warrant or anything on anyone, or if anybody, you know, wants to come in and get some kind of, whatever it may be, a order protection or something like that, that's who it has to go before.
And she has an office.
She Well, they work from the sheriff's department most of the time.
Okay, that's what.
But that's after hours. The clerk's office has chosen, and we appreciate them very much, and Lakeisha and Jennifer down there, they have chosen to do the warrants during the day, during the normal working hours from 8 to 4, how the circuit court clerk's office and everything, Monday through Friday.
Right.
And then your judicial commissioner picks it up after hours and on the weekend.
Okay, very good. Okay, I guess we will take a little short break here and work the commercial in. And as we do that, I'll read the birthday and anniversaries for today, and we'll come back here in a little bit and give away our prize today. But celebrating an anniversary this week, we have Nick and Muriel Melton celebrating the birthday. Mr. Billy Jean Smith out in Miles, the Smith family called in, and that whole family wants to wish him a happy birthday. Too many names are to read them all.
Yeah.
And then also Billy and Sue Cherry, I think that's out in the Pine Hill area, to celebrate an anniversary. I think they maybe get close to the 60s somewhere or another. And Miss Carolyn Browning celebrating a birthday, and also Miss Shirley Brown. So we've got those on today, and we'll choose one of them here in a little bit and give them one of our great birthday prizes over at the Chamber of Commerce where you go by and pick that up. And with that, we'll take a little short break, come back, and we will... Let's see, I guess we've been here 30, we got 30 more minutes to go, Rick, in orange.
I don't know.
I'd say we'll probably have to cut off here at regular time. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock, and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank & Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank & Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor, I think you might as well just dig right back in.
We have also, I'm going to bring everybody up today a little bit about the jail. We had our bid opening on the 21st of September at 2 o'clock, and it was somewhat disappointing. We moved the deadline up for it for a week because we had three contractors that came out to the pre-bid meeting that we had, And we were a little bit excited about that because everyone around us said, you'll be lucky if you have anybody to bid on. And when we had those three contractors come out and showed an entrance to it, we were a little bit excited about it. And but on the day of the bid opens, we only had one contractor returning, and the other two didn't turn in a bid on it. So, and that being said, we had it came in somewhat over our budget. We knew it was going to come in a bit higher than what we had anticipated back 6 years ago. And so we had a budget of around $10.5 to $11 million that we had set above what we had our USDA loan. Our USDA loan was $7.5 million. So we had in the debt service we had about $2.7 million in that. And so we felt like that if we could get it to come in around the $10.5 to $11 million range, we were going to be able to manage this thing. But it came in a little bit more than that. It came in at $18,957,000. And that was just a little bit more than what we've been, you know, at this time. Now, I'm not saying that we're giving up, and we're not giving up. We're right now, the engineer and architect, along with the contractor, are doing what they call value engineering study. And along with TCI and the sheriff, myself, and some of the members of the jail committee, we're going to be having a meeting here in a couple of weeks. They're already going back and going to some of the contractors and seeing if there's things that we can, you know, can change on it, and seeing if there's any areas there that we can hopefully, you know, cut this thing down some point and see. But I mean, you know, that's part of it. And but it was disappointing because we've been working on this for a long time, and we've come to the point where that, you know, we've let this thing out for bid, and it came in at that. So we just want to keep everybody up to date on that. Came in from our $7.5 million budget that we started out with about 6 years ago. We came in about $11,457,000.
If we'd have done that 6 years ago, we'd have right now about had it paid for, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but it didn't happen that way. It didn't work that way. Things work. And I said this before, you know, and I know the sheriff certainly was disappointed, and you kind of get discouraged sometimes because things move at a turtle's pace when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I know that some of our neighbors are going through the same thing. I know Macon County's going through that right now as well. But their bid came in, according to their size and our size, pretty much about the same average. But theirs came in, I think, about $48 million over there. They're building a 200-bed facility and everything. So they're having to go back and do the same thing what we're doing right now to see if there's anything that we can do to cut that down and try to get it within the range of what, you know, is manageable. You know, we've got to make sure that, you know, we get this thing where we can manage it and everything, because it is going to be something that, you know, that is definitely needed. It's essential service that the county has to provide, you know, to the citizens, as well as your ambulance service and all that. You know, that they, ambulance service came in to be an essential service probably about 5 years ago. Didn't used to have to have a service. Why you wouldn't want to have one, I don't know. But, I mean, at that particular time, it wasn't state statute. But now it has passed, and it is a state statute that a county does have to provide emergency medical service for their citizens and everything that's out there. So that is something that, you know, that we're going to continue to be working on, and we'll constantly be continuing to keep the customers going and get everything on.
Okay. Now, you know, that we do know that's something we need, and we also know that we're in a position now where we don't want federal officials coming in and looking it over and saying, you are going to do this, and you're going to pay for it with what we tell you you're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
those things usually run anywhere from 35% to 50% higher than what the number you just threw out there.
Yeah, 60. I mean, we certainly don't want the federal government, you know, as far as, I mean, like you said, Thomas, but especially a federal judge, you know, hand down an order that we have to do it and build it, you know, the way that they say that we're going to build it. And it don't make any difference to them, you know, how that we pay for it, or we will pay for it. And, you know, and so, but this way it's been trying to do it in a manner that we can hopefully, Lord willing, manage this thing to be, you know, and as economical as we possibly can.
Okay. You got anything else for us here now?
No, that's all I've got right now up to this point. And again, thank you for letting me come on and bringing everybody up today. I want to certainly invite everybody to come through. This is the Roller Coaster Yard Sale weekend. And we've got a lot of yard sales that's out here, and we certainly encourage everybody to come through Clay County. And while you're here, stop and at the yard sales, and maybe you'll need a bottle of pop, or you may need a little gadget or whatever in your thing. So we encourage you to come through the county and do that. And also, next weekend, I believe, is whenever the chili cook-off.
The chili cook-off next weekend.
So we want to invite everybody to come out and be and support the senior citizens. So everyone does that.
This weekend, I think the lodge folks have got their car show here around the courthouse. And next Tuesday,
I'm glad you got
a little special event here. We're having kind of a birthday party here for the old courthouse.
The grand old lady.
And she's 150 years old. The 10th of October, I think that is when the contractors turned the keys over to the county. And we're having a little, it's nothing formal. Just come by the courthouse here, and we're going to try to have enough, maybe, some sweetening, some ice cream or something for people to come by. And we're going to do let folks come in and look upstairs where we've got our now the Clay Pack, the Clay County Performing Arts Center up there. And we've got our Rolling Hole Marble Museum and things like that.
Just and tell you how far everything has changed, Thomas. And I believe I'm right about this. There may be a few numbers off there, say, but $10,000, I think, is what it cost in fact 150 years ago.
Yes.
Build this.
And now we're looking at $10,000 grants to fix four windows.
Exactly. To take care of the windows.
But now we're getting ready to take care of that. We've got a couple of the original doors kind of remodeled a little bit. We don't want to make them look too fancy, and I think there will be a couple more of them put up today. And after that gets finished, we're going to, if you've been in the courthouse, you notice there's plaster coming off the wall a few places. Got a group coming in, going to take care of that. We're going to get some more windows fixed. And then when we get most of all that done, we're going to put one of these floating hardwood floors down here on top of this old tile.
Give her a place, please.
And also, I talked to Dale yesterday. I've got a gentleman coming up that's going to work on our outside bricks a little bit and make sure none of them ever fall out. Because, you know, that'd be kind of like losing our teeth to lose one of our bricks here from the old lady. And we don't want her to get snaggled, too.
No.
Well, I guess we've got a couple more minutes. And if you'll reach over and pick up one of them pieces of paper, we will give somebody a birthday gift today. Let's see who we've got here. We have Billie Jean Smith.
Billie Jean, all right.
So, Sue will probably come over and pick it up for it.
Yeah, but
with that, I guess, you know, we're about to run out of time here. Reminder, when we do come here each Thursday morning, hopefully we get started on time at 9 o'clock most times, and there will be a rebroadcast this evening on the WBFM 101.5, broadcasting out to the world from the Big Tower out in Midway. And like I said, just come by this weekend, kind of go over by the yard sale under the bridge. We've got folks going on, things going on here around the square. And you might look over, the courthouse might be open a little bit this weekend. No, I take that back. It won't be open this weekend. I think I'm going to be out of town for a day. But come next Tuesday, come down and just come down and enjoy. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of this place and how it got started and our world-famous murder trial that took place here. Just lots of things to do. And like I said, we hope we'll have some sweetening for everyone to have a little something to nibble on while they're here. And just come and talk to each other. And a bunch of you fellas want to bring you whittling sticks and knives, come down. You can come down and sit on here on our benches. And
we'd love to start.
Get your pocket knives out and make some shavings. And with that, I guess it's time we would just got everything shut back up as best we can. And we'll see you again next week, same time, same channel here. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we do that. And until then, good day, Clay County.